Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to catch you up on all the news you should know about. The big boy is here. Stay tuned for everything you need to know about the massive steam locomotive's visit to Scranton. And we're talking about tick season and tick bite prevention in the latest News Voices. It's Monday, June 15th. Let's get you up to date. We'll get right on track with the big boy today. Steamtown National Historic Site will host a two-day reunion of two historic big boy railroad engines starting this morning. WVIA's Roger Dupuis has more on the journey that brought the world's largest operating steam locomotive to Scranton.
Union Pacific Big Boy Steam Locomotive 4014 draws a crowd wherever it goes, thanks to its sheer size. Just ask Orion Sherrard.
If that thing got in a tug of war with a group of 50 elephants, it would probably win.
The Bradford County boy and his family came to see the 1.2 million pound engine before it left Sayre Friday morning. 4014 is on a cross-country semi-quincentennial tour that brought it to Northeast Pennsylvania, as railroad employee Austin Barker explains.
It's all part of the America's 250 event that we're doing with this big locomotive, representing, you know, railroaders past and present. It's a pretty cool thing that we're doing for America's 250.
4014 headed to Binghamton, New York on Friday, before traveling back into Pennsylvania on Saturday. The 33-foot-long engine drew thousands of spectators as it rumbled over the Tunkhannock Viaduct in Wyoming County and at crossings all along its route through Lackawanna, Luzerne, and Carbon counties. Dave Carl of Mountaintop set out to see the train at locations in New York and Pennsylvania.
Oh, it's just the mechanical ability and the fact that it's been restored. It's just an amazing piece of machinery.
4014 returned to Lackawanna County on Sunday to prepare for the two-day big boy reunion at Steamtown. It will pose next to another Union Pacific big boy that's been on static display there for decades. Reporting with my colleague Sarah Hofius Hall, I'm Roger Dupuis, WVIA News.
Thanks, Roger. Find more on Steamtown's big boy reunion and WVIA's exclusive cab ride aboard 4014 at WVIA.org. And if you snapped any photos of the train in the area this weekend, you can send them to Roger Dupuis at WVIA.org. Well, the big boy stop is expected to bring thousands of visitors to Scranton. That's why Park Service, city, and county officials held a press conference last week ahead of the big boy 4014's longest stop on its cross-country journey to celebrate the country's 250th birthday. As WVIA's Kat Bolas reports, Scranton Police Chief Tom Carroll addressed safety in the city.
Carroll asked that people have patience, be safe, and enjoy the event and everything that Scranton has to offer. But Carroll offered a warning to those who will navigate the city next week, especially on Monday and Tuesday.
Tens of thousands coming to Scranton. It's going to challenge our infrastructure. It's going to challenge our traffic patterns.
Carroll says there will be extra police patrols, including beat officers and bike patrols. Police will also use their drones to monitor traffic patterns. He reminded everyone that the big boy's arrival and departure on July 1st does not supersede Pennsylvania's traffic laws.
Do not take risky measures to view the train. Do not trespass. Do not park where you should not. Do not stop where you should not. And please watch out for the other drivers, rubberneckers.
Park Superintendent Jeremy Comez says the big boys, including 4012, which is part of the park, are enduring symbols of American innovation, industry, and determination.
We look forward to welcoming visitors from around the world and sharing this remarkable chapter in railroading history.
In Scranton, I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News.
Thanks, Kat. Stay with us. There's more Up to Date after this break.
We report to you. Subscribe to the WVIA News Notes e-newsletter for the latest from the news team. Visit wvia.org/news and click on the subscribe button to receive the newsletter every Tuesday and Friday morning.
Welcome back. And now it's time for News Voices. WVIA healthcare reporter Lydia McFarland joins me this week to talk about tick season and tick bite prevention in Northeast Pennsylvania. Here's more.
Hello and welcome to News Voices, your weekly look behind the scenes at WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining us. The weather is getting warmer, and with that, peak tick season has arrived in Pennsylvania. And this year is shaping up to be the worst in a while all across the country. WVIA's Lydia McFarland is here with everything you need to know to stay safe. Hi, Lydia.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for being here. So according to the people that you've spoken with, what makes this tick season a little bit different than it's been in the past?
So across the country, ER visits for tick-related bites or illnesses are up to the highest rates they've been since 2017. And that's the same here in Pennsylvania. So we had a little bit of a warm-up in April, which caused a higher spike in the amount of tick exposures that we're seeing in the Commonwealth and across the country as well.
How does the warm weather contribute to increases in tick bites?
So tick season in Pennsylvania especially is year-round, but there are two peaks of that year-round season. So we are in one right now in spring and early summer. And it's just those cooler but warmer temperatures that, you know, really make it good conditions for ticks to be out. But once it gets to consistent 90-degree temperatures, we'll see a bit of, once we get to consistent 90-degree weather, we'll see less tick exposures. But right now, we're in the worst of the first peak.
Mm-hmm. So kind of like a sweet spot. Now, we actually have a tick lab in our region that's down at East Stroudsburg University. So what are some of the things that they do and the things that they're seeing this year?
So the tick lab can test for the five most common tick-borne illnesses, including Lyme disease. And if you find a tick on you or your pet and you want to know if it carries any of these tick-borne illnesses, you can seal it in a plastic bag and send it to the tick lab. And they will record that, report that to the state, depending on what that tick comes up having, if anything. So they do free testing for all Pennsylvania residents. And again, they're just seeing this spike, which is pretty common every year around this late spring, early summer. But we're also seeing alpha-gal syndrome, and that's across the country, but here in Pennsylvania. Now, the tick lab does not report for this or test for this, because it is based on an individual voluntarily reporting. But this alpha gal is, it causes a red meat and dairy allergy.
And so that is one of the new things that we're concerned with this year. Tick-borne illness is always the concern with a tick bite, but how much of a risk is alpha gal at the moment?
So again, the health department just wants everyone to always be practicing tick prevention. And alpha gal, the health department said there's less than 50 reported in Pennsylvania so far. And it is an allergy, so they compared it to like a peanut allergy. Not everyone, if they're exposed, is going to develop this allergy. It's just dependent on your own immune system. But again, we have around 50 cases reported for now. And that syndrome would make you allergic to red meat and animal products.
Mm-hmm. So what can people be doing to protect themselves from ticks and tick bites?
Yeah, so just always be practicing prevention. The Department of Health recommends, spraying chemical insect repellents on your socks and your shoes and clothing. If you're camping, on your tents, your sleeping bags, and anything that's cloth. Using EPA-registered insect repellent. And then when you come inside, always do a thorough tick check. So that's around your hairline, behind your ears, your belly button, behind your knees, and other places that might be hard to get to that the tick might burrow in. And they recommend doing this not only if you're going on a hike or going camping, but also it's high risk just doing yard work and being in your backyard. So just be sure to check when you come inside from being outside, especially in your backyard.
All right. Well, Lydia, thank you so much for all that information and tips. And we'll find the full story at WBIA.org.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
All right. One last thing for the day. Let's take a look back at This Week in History with WBIA's Julie Sidoni.
This Week in History, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world, June 15th through the 21st. This week in 1877, four so-called Molly Maguires are killed in Carbon County and six in Schuylkill County. They're thought to be members of an alleged secret society of Irish mine workers. 1865, Union soldiers arrive in Texas with the message that the Civil War is over and slavery is abolished. The day comes to be known as Juneteenth. More mining news later in 1911. This is the week the state legislature makes changes to mining laws, 2 months after 72 miners died in a fire at the Pancoast Mine in Troop. In 1974 this week, a book called All the President's Men is published, a book about the Watergate scandal. President Nixon would resign 2 months later. And in 1983, Sally Ride on board the shuttle Challenger becomes the first American woman to travel into space. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
So, how are we feeling? All caught up and ready to start the week? Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for listening today. If you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and tune in every weekday wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.